listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
Babylon, Babylon. At my window, all I see is Babylon. On the news, all I see is Babylon. And all your niggas do is just Babylon. Money and hoes, more money and hoes. If I sold dope, I had plenty of flows. If I was on the projects like J-Rock, I would have more likely slang rocks. All my life I done been around Crips and Bloods, Pimps and Thugs, just to name a few. I do drugs, mama say it's in my blood, but she don't know what the fuck I been through. To creep through the back door of the typical black boy in the good old USA. Before I push rhymes like way, I used to want to play for the NBA. Fuck up doing talking about pineal gland. Ancient ways of Sumerians. Ain't nothing wrong with a righteous man. That's why I had to write this, man. For my niggas on the corner selling water to somebody got a fluctuating prices, man. Hey, welcome to the Black God Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
That horrible, horrible rendition of pineal gland. Sorry about that, but
I don't even know who that is. Sound like wine.
Absol, my nigga, the one good album he had put out. Anyway, man, it's the Black Out Tales podcast, end of the week for us, unless you know, you down with that freemium, because then if you is, tomorrow we'll be recapping this too much. We'll be recapping This Is Us, me and Bossy Ickby, at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on the planet Earth. So we'll be tomorrow live, on, Crowdcast. You know, I'll be tweeting out the links and all that stuff. I haven't even watched it yet this week, so I'll probably be watching it tonight or tomorrow, and trying to catch up on, all the great, amazing TV that's on right now, guys. There's so much stuff.
Yeah, everything restarted back up again.
Today's show is brought to you. Wait, the official weapon of the show is
the taser.
Unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today's show is brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions, maker of fine handcrafted audio plays for 7 years now. We got a new one from two Canadian singers slash actors, Mia and Alisa B. Check it out on iTunes, and if you like it, give them a rating. The album is called We Be Talking. Okay, check it out. Go buy something. Leave them a 5-star review. It helps us out. Also, with your sexy ass, make sure that you help us out in other ways too, okay? There's more than one way to help out the show, okay? Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you end up really helping yourself out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you ever think about that? Because I'll tell you who did think about that. That motherfucking Adam and Eve, y'all. Mm-hmm. They definitely thought about it. Thought about it long and hard. They have an amazing offer for Valentine's Day. That's right. It's almost Valentine's, guys.
It really is.
You really want to get on top of this so you can get on top of somebody else. If you know what I'm saying. I think you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay. So yeah, what you want to do is just through Valentine's Day, you can get 50% off at their website, adamandeve.com, for just about any item. They got over 18,000 adult entertainment products, including toys, lingerie, seemingly endless supply of adult DVDs. And what's even more, they'll throw in the romance kit for free. The romance kit includes a toy for him, a special massager for her, and a little something that we know y'all both enjoy, plus a free adult movie. So it'll put you in the mood, and they give you free shipping on your entire order. It's really a steal, and you can only get it at adamandeve.com using code TBGWT when you go to check out. The offer code needs to be TBGWT, and you can get 50% off of one item, free romance kit, and free shipping when you enter offer code TBGWT at adamandeve.com. All right, guys, let's just get into the show, okay? All kinds of stuff is happening. The Oscars are coming up. We announced, the people that are, you know, contending for Oscars this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, people are starting to look into this Casey Affleck Oscar controversy right at the right time. Mm. It's almost like all the people that said Nate Parker got off easy started kind of late. Or like they said, the ones that said he got an unfair raw deal. It's like they jumped too early, Karen. Apparently, and this would have flared up for his ass too. Let's keep it real.
Right.
If he would have gotten nominated, we would have been talking about that discussion. Well, Casey Affleck has won over a dozen awards, including a Golden Globe for his performance in Manchester by the Sea. With Tuesday nominations, he became a favorite to win the Best Actor Oscar in February, Though expected, the news has elicited objections from actors, activists, and commentators on the grounds that the Academy disregarded sexual harassment allegations made in two settled lawsuits against the 41-year-old actor. The most outspoken critic has been fresh out the boat star Constance Wu, who posted a series of strongly worded tweets shortly after the nominations. A number of entertainment outlets also published or re-promoted stories about Affleck. Here's what we know. And then they go through the allegations which we broke down on the show.
We covered that.
Yep. He's repeatedly denied the allegations. Familiar. He seemed to address the controversy at the Golden Globes. During his acceptance speech, he alluded to the noise that comes with fame, which some interpreted as a reference to the lawsuits and the press surrounding them. Despite how I might think I'm in charge of my house, it's the kids who have given me the permission to do this because they got the strength of character to keep at bay all the noise that sometimes surrounds people who live publicly. He says, a few outlets also noticed that actress Brie Larson, who presented Affleck with the award, did not hug him or shake his hand as is customary. Yeah, I'll tell you this shit too, though. It's odd how many people that get accused of shit like this always blame it on just, I'm famous. As if every person on that stage got up there and it's like, well, remember his scandal? Remember her scandal? Well, you know she did this. Like, nigga, you got accused and went to court. Like, it wasn't just
broke people to get accused of rape too, so.
Yeah, and also it's not like these people went to court and shit. Like it wasn't just like they were lawsuits. These were people with careers. These weren't like these women essentially may have thrown their careers away. By speaking up,
right? Because nobody want to work with them,
you know. And for the record, man, if you're having a problem with this idea that this dude got accused of something and settled, and he, it's not like he went to jail or nothing, okay, cool. Just think about it like racism, right? Just think about it like racism. You may have had something racist to you happen at your job, and you did or did not report it. If you didn't report it, you know you didn't report it because you didn't want to go through all that shit, and you knew at the end of the day people weren't gonna believe you. But even if you told them, people would be like, eh, whatever.
Or you'd be put on the list. Next thing you know, all your perfect reviews.
I'm talking about people that didn't report it.
Right.
Okay. Right. That's the people who didn't report it.
Oh, yeah. But, you know,
like, then the people that do report it.
You become a target.
You guys know what it's like to report and how that shit affects your career. And you become known as the person that doesn't play team ball. You get blacklisted. You don't get that promotion and all that shit. We read article after article. Someone stepped up and said something. Next thing you know, they ain't got a motherfucking job. So I'm saying these women put a lot on the line to even accuse the dude. Now, let alone the fact that he settled, and then he can just brush it off as noise that comes with fame. It's such bullshit, you know? Like, oh, you know how we all get accused of trying to rape somebody. You guys know how it is.
Mm-mm. I don't know nothing about that.
Yeah, but you know what's funny to me? The people that said that the shit with Renate Parker was about racism and it was racial and shit, the one thing that I want to know, because I didn't see that movie. Mm-mm. Are people thinking that his movie was so good that it got snubbed and it was one of the top however many movies? It should knock out some of these movies that made it. Do they feel his performance was better than these other people that got nominated for Best Actor? I would like to know that, because, like, I didn't see it. So I honestly can't say, and I honestly, for the most part, don't really care.
Right, I've heard mixed reviews, so I don't know.
Yeah, but I've heard mixed reviews, and I'm not just, and I mean from a lot of different people.
Right.
So it's interesting to see if people think it got snubbed, because this is a very black and white Oscars. Not that it was a very diverse Oscars, but a lot of black people got nominated for shit. So it'll be interesting to see how that works. All right, so yep, he got nominated. U.S. top court rebuffs sister wives challenge to Utah's anti-bigamy law. The U.S. Supreme Court on Monday turned away a challenge to Utah's anti-bigamy law brought by polygamist stars of the popular reality television show Sister Wives. The justice declined to take up an appeal by Cody Brown and his four wives, only one of whom he is legally married to, of a lower court's ruling that threw out their challenge that claimed Utah's law banning multiple spouses violates their religious liberty rights under the U.S. Constitution's First Amendment. They also claimed the law violated their legally protected right to privacy. That's gonna, yeah, I can see that would be kind of hard to while having a TV show as a reality show.
That's what I'm about to say. I mean, you're doing a TV show. You're not private.
Yeah, especially with the basis of that TV show being your marriage. It probably would be a tough sell, quote unquote. Maybe like they aren't the best examples of people that should take this court, take this case to court, but whatever, you know. They also claim, okay, after the show they first aired on cable television network on TLC in 2010, the authorities in Utah announced they were investigating the family for violations of the anti-bigamy law. Fearing criminal prosecution, they moved to Nevada in 2011. Utah law prohibits not only polygamy, but also cohabitation by married people. What does that mean? Cohabitation by married people.
Y'all can live in the same place.
But how does it... I don't know, but how is that how do you prohibit cohabitation by married people?
I'm assuming more than one husband and wife. You can have multiple marriages and y'all can live underneath the same roof. Because it might be, you might can marry multiple people, but y'all all can't stay together. Mm-hmm. Like, that actually might be a law.
Nah, that makes sense. Sister Wives revolves around the lives of Cody Brown and wives Mary, Janelle, Christine, and Robin, as well as their many children. The family has a religious belief in polygamy, according to court papers. Brown and the four women are fundamentalist Mormons, part of the apostolic United Brethren Church. The family sued Utah authorities in Salt Lake City federal court. The district court found that part of the law related to cohabitation violated the Constitution, but the rest was lawful. The family appealed, but the Denver-based 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals tossed out the case because Cody and the four women faced no credible threat of prosecution. So it got thrown out because they aren't going to be going to jail. Police aren't coming after them. While Utah State Attorney General has a policy not to prosecute polygamists under the anti-bigamy law unless other crimes are involved, such as child abuse or domestic violence, Jeffrey Bubman, the county attorney for Utah County, did not have a similar policy in place. During the litigation, however, Bubman adopted the same prosecution policy, prompting the 10th Circuit to throw the case out. Oh, okay. So he was basically like, I won't promise that I'm not going to pursue arrest and stuff of people that are living in polyamory. And he was like, so the new dude was like, well, then I'll stop. Like, I promise I won't be prosecuting people unless child abuse or domestic violence or something happens. And then the court was like, well, then there's no need to even change the law. Huh. That's interesting.
And maybe it's just me. I've always wondered, and not that this doesn't happen across all races, but I wonder if like brown people started doing this and talking about their religious rights, would they be so free of not wanting to press charges?
I don't know. I mean, it's Utah. Maybe there's not enough hoteps out there. Maybe you get some hoteps that want to have 3-4 wives. You know, back to the king and queens of Africa type shit, and maybe it would come down on them. I don't know that that's a big thing in our community.
Most of the time it's white people. I mean, most time when you see this, it's a lot of, not that black people don't do this, but most of the time it's white people you see at the forefront in the face of this. So I wonder if this start browning, would they start cracking and be like, nope?
Well, that's the other part too that you have to consider is there's a lot of people coming down on it, but even the reason that people come down on it is kind of twofold. On the one hand, it's like Judeo-Christian values that are thrown into our laws. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how dare you? But I feel like if you're consenting adults and y'all want to be, you want to marry a person that's already married, I don't know why that would be a problem or anybody's business. I don't know why if we decided that one man, one woman, was law, and then that got changed, to, you know, marriage equality. I don't know what's so bad about the idea that somebody could be polyamorous or married to more than one person or whatever. It seems like we would legally be able to work that out. It'd be a little more murky, but marriage is murky. It's a business. It's not an actual status of love. Marriage is just a business proposition.
Yeah, a lot of people married ain't in love, baby.
Yeah. The second thing is there's a lot of abuses under the polygamy states. And Utah stuff, yeah, where it's young, they try to marry off younger women. Mm-hmm. There are people living in abject poverty. There's, lack of
education.
Mm-hmm. Lack of education, lack of health, things. So the way I feel about it is more like I feel about prostitution and drug use. I'd rather it be regulated by the government because it's going to exist. So I'd rather, if it's going to exist, somebody come in and make sure everything's on the up and up. So if people are going to marry more than one person, to me it would be better to come in and be like, let's make sure these things are done legally, let's make sure everybody's adults, so let's make sure everybody's consenting, let's make sure that people aren't being abused and trying to live off the grid and shit like that. Let's make sure people are going to school,
right?
You know, these kind of things. That's the way I would handle it, but obviously, you know, I'm just one person. And then as far as that's how I would look at it. So but we'll see, man, because it sounds like they're just kind of like, as long as you ain't hurting nobody, we'll let it slide, but we'll keep it on the books. And it's kind of like people do sodomy, where if there's a sexual relationship between two men and you catch them out having sex somewhere, like indecent exposure would be what you would give like a heterosexual couple.
Right.
You see a man and a woman going to town, finger banging that thing, and you just show up and you're like, indecent exposure or something. If it's two men, it's like sodomy automatically. So people keep sodomy on the books just in case they want to up that charge against two men that are in public having sex or, you know, whatever. So yeah, it definitely, is one of those laws where it's like they just keep it just in case, you know, oh, we're gonna charge you with this and buggery and this, and you're like, buggery, what the fuck, nobody's heard of that,
right?
You know, a news anchor, he was talking about sex.
That's found persistently high levels of hostility towards women is fueled by lad culture. It's from the Fawcett Society, found almost 2 in 5 men said a woman was partially or totally to blame if sexually assaulted when out late at night, drunk and wearing a short skirt.
I think it's important that when we try to address sexism as a society, that we recognize that it's not something that men do to women, that it's a value system in society that some people absorb. And some of those people are male and some of those people are female, and that's what we have to try to undo.
Is it a dreadful thing to say that if women are out in short skirts and drunk, that they they don't need to take any personal responsibility?
Let me ask you a question. If you're walking down the street and you get punched in the face, are you responsible for having left your house? They are free citizens are allowed to be out and they're allowed to
drink. I'd be responsible if I was out provoking someone.
It is not... provocative to drink, and it is not provocative to wear what women choose to wear. It's not about provoking behavior. They are choosing what they wish to wear. And by the way, if they're out drunk and in jeans, does that mean that it's, you know, that suddenly, I mean, isn't...
But why are they wearing a short skirt going out? What, for what reason would you wear a short skirt?
Fashion. Because you want to... Really? Are you suggesting...
It's always fashionable to wear a short skirt. I'm wearing trousers today. I think I look fashionable.
Well, sure, but if you're actually suggesting that women are wearing short skirts because they want to be sexually assaulted...
Well, no.
You're wearing a short skirt to look sexy.
Sure, but that doesn't mean that you need to be sexually assaulted.
No.
That's... And it doesn't mean that...
I'm not saying that.
And it doesn't mean that you provoked it. It doesn't mean that you deserved it. It's about recognizing that... It's about not blaming victims.
Right. People are fucking dumb, man. People are goddamn dumb. They say this shit, and then when people be like, this is what you're implying, they be like, that's not what the fuck are you implying then?
There's a lot of things on there that's amazing to me, right? When she said, if you got punched in the face, would it be your fault for leaving the house? He immediately act like that shit wasn't even close to the same. Like,
right.
You know, to me, it's like, if you wore a Cowboys jersey and walked down the street and somebody was a fan of another team and punched you in your face and people went, why were you wearing a Cowboys jersey? You'd be like, are you fucking insane? I can wear a Cowboys jersey. There's nothing that says you can punch me in the face. It's not an invitation to a fight. The other thing, the vast majority of sexual assault, not that these jump out the bush type things aren't fucked up in themselves.
But it's the lower percentage.
They're fucked up, and for the principle of what they're talking about, there's never an excuse. Rapists right. are 100% of the reason that there is rape.
Come on.
So just to clear that out, let's go to the other problem. The vast majority of sexual assault doesn't occur this way.
Mm-mm.
So the vast majority of sexual assault is from somebody you know. Somebody you trust that you wouldn't expect this shit from, you know, family members, friends, you know, people, co-workers, people that you would expect to be able to be yourself around or whatever. It's not about what you're wearing. It's a crime of power. So it's like, I can do this thing to you. It's not, you was wearing a thong. I just had to. Is right. You know, there's people that, you know, were wearing, there's people who assault children and elderly women, and you know, it's not this woman was so hot I had to rape her.
It's a power thing.
I don't know this man. I wouldn't vouch for him in any way, but let's say for a hypothetical, let's say he's not a rapist. Let's just say he's not. I don't know. From his words, I wouldn't dare make that assumption. But let's just say he's not, for hypothetical reasons. Why the fuck you defending a rapist mentality?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, why do you have to step into the devil's advocate, the rapist advocate, in this situation? Why couldn't you just sit back and be like, yeah, I don't relate to that?
And what's so funny, only one woman is talking like she got motherfucking sense.
Yeah, the other woman was like, well, why would you wear a skirt if you went out?
And this one other thing, she felt like, bitch, ain't you wore a skirt before?
And I'm glad that first woman brought up the fact that, it's a mentality that societally affects men and women.
Right.
Because her dumb ass, the other woman was saying that shit. And essentially, you can tell she's one of those people that when women get raped, it's what does she have on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like sometimes people do it to feel a sense of control, like, or to be able to blame somebody or themselves, because it's never men's fault that are rapists, obviously. Motherfuckers are just looking too sexy out here and they can't help themselves. Let's see. Filipinos, world's biggest porn watchers, are now banned from watching porn.
What? That's gonna be a motherfucking riot. What's wrong with these people?
Yep. The government is trying to weed out child pornography, and they have prevented access to sites that may contain underage images. They've blocked access to Pornhub, Xvideos, and RedTube.
Oh, but they know right. They filter out to be sure, like, if, like, you get pressed charges fucking with them sites, they'll be like, hey, and we're gonna press charges.
Pornhub.com recently found that for the third year running, people in the Philippines spend more time watching porn than any other country in the world, logging an average of 12 minutes and 45 seconds on the adult site, around 3 minutes longer than the average worldwide mark. Of course, this research does come from Pornhub, so take it with a grain of salt, just like Pornhub, many other illuminating data discoveries. So given how much porn Filipinos apparently watch, we can only imagine that what a bummer it is when they suddenly realize they no longer have access to Pornhub, as well as Xvideos, RedTube, and several other major XXX sites as part of the Philippine government's new countrywide porn ban, according to CNN.
Yeah, and that's when people take it to the extreme. Okay, yeah, you do want to ban sexual images of children and child pornography, but this was a way for somebody who don't want, like, porn at all, to say, we just get porn across the board because we can't tell the motherfucking difference. You're not dumb.
It's the same thing they want to try here in America with a lot of these.
If they could, yeah.
Not if they could. Like, Utah wants to do it.
Stupid.
Yeah. This is already underway in some places where they're trying to push through legislation, and the thing that they hide behind is children.
Right.
Whether it's children can see porn, porn is gonna, people gonna make the kids be in porn, like, they run behind the children to try to make an excuse.
Yeah, that get on my nerves. That using children as shield is the oldest fucking thing in the book, and only motherfuckers do this when they trying to promote some bullshit.
Yeah. See what else happened. 5 of the most germ-infested surfaces you touch every day.
Ah!
And your computer keyboard is not one of them. Mm-hmm. According to New York Magazine...
Doorknobs.
Hmm?
Is doorknobs on the list?
I don't know. I was gonna read, but...
Okay.
You wanted to guess. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Nah, you got it. You got it, dog. Go ahead.
Well, and then you can fish doorknobs, yeah. Telephones, let's see, countertops, sinks.
That's four.
How many?
Five is what they're gonna name.
That's all I can think of.
All right. Self-checkout screens.
Yeah, that's understandable because they probably don't spray them down and clean them.
Yep. Toilet seats are among the cleanest places you touch every day because people make a conscious effort to clean them regularly. Mm-hmm. Whether we are food shopping or at an ATM, we are using more and more touch screens every day in life now. And while they might get a wipe down at the end of the day, it seems unlikely they're properly disinfected much as they might need to be.
That's understandable.
Ground floor elevator buttons.
Oh, because everybody going to the fucking first floor, ain't they?
Mm-hmm. Reusable bags.
Reusable
shopping bags can in fact be major germ carriers. People rarely clean them, despite the fact that they regularly put raw food in them to carry it back from the supermarket.
That's why I just throw my bags in trash can. I'm sorry.
99% of bags carry bacteria such as coliform or an E. coli.
Oh, y'all trying to kill yourselves. Throw them damn bags away. Just pay 99 cents for another bag.
Hand towels. A lot of people don't wash their hands properly, and any lingering bacteria gets transferred to the towel. And as the bacteria grows in moist places, ow, hand towels are the perfect environment for growing even more germs. They said all towels should be washed every 2 days. Coffee pot handles.
That's understandable, especially if you had a job where you don't have like a big brewing machine.
Mm-hmm.
Where you just individually making pots.
That's right. And that's the five, Karen. You were wrong on all of them.
I was. I bet your honorable mentions was doorknobs. A lot of people.
Nothing had doorknobs. An honorable mention. None of them had an honorable mention. You just missed it all. You just were 100% wrong.
No, doorknobs are nasty.
Wrong. All the way wrong, 100%. Nothing was right.
And they short ass list.
Five? You knew it was going to be five? You struck out. Survey says.
Nigga, you wrong.
You wrong. Sorry.
Sorry. If you stole from me, you won the game.
Mm-hmm. You wrong.
No.
Is your job having negative effects on your mental health?
For a lot of people, yes.
The subtle signs that show your career is detrimental to your mind and it's time to resign fast.
Find another job, y'all.
Here we go, guys. If you are not sleeping properly, if you're having difficulty going to sleep or you're waking too early, it might be because you have too much on your mind. Mm-hmm. If you're making mistakes, making careless or silly mistakes can be a sign that you don't have enough headspace. If you're short-tempered, stress can give us a short fuse and can reduce our patience.
Mm-hmm, true.
If you're unable to concentrate, stress can put us in a fight or flight mode, a feeling of panic, which can leave us unable to maintain focus on one thing for long. If you start feeling tearful or emotional, everything can feel just too much when we are stressed.
Yeah, I've been there.
Mm-hmm. If you have lost your sense of humor, if life has become serious and austere, and you have lost your sense of fun, this may be because your job is having an impact on your mental health. If you feel like you don't care anymore, you get burned out.
I've been there too.
Because you're stressed out. Okay, maybe your job making you crazy. I don't know. Have a negative effect.
Not my current position, but yeah, I've been there before.
If you wake up each morning with a feeling of dread.
I've been there before too.
Mm-hmm. Your job may be affecting y'all mental health, man. Might be time to resign fast. So be careful out there, guys. All right. All right, let's see what other things we want to talk about. Make sure nothing's in here. And make sure, yeah. All right, let's talk about fucking with black people then. All right, guys. I know. Nobody wants to talk about this, but We gotta do what we gotta do these days. Okay, guys, we're gonna make it through this together. Here we go. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe and we count different articles and we score them from 0 to 125 intervals. And then we just be fucked with as black people. And today's contestants is everybody. All right, I fucked that up. All right. Tamara Mowry's husband responds to haters who think he voted for Trump. Adam Housley responds to Trump rumors. Tamara Mowry, Mowry's husband, who shut her down for trying to give him extra males on the sandwich because of his race, recently clapped back at social media trolls. And yes, you heard that right. She put extra mayo on his sandwich and he was mad because he thought she was doing it because he's a white man. He shut that shit down, no exceptions. he recently clapped back at social media trolls. He works for Fox News and has been married to the real host for 6 years. Recently, he posted an Instagram picture of himself with President Reagan and Obama with a message of hope. Mm-hmm. With a message of hope. Mr. I gotta check my wife because there's a little too much mayonnaise on this sandwich. Are you trying to pick on me because I'm a white man?
Something that could have stayed at your house.
Is that what this is? An attack on my whiteness? Sandwich violence?
You come down a notch and look like a petty little brat by tweeting and Facebooking this. Just to open up dialogue so we can have an adult conversation is ridiculous. In America, you should be ashamed.
Be a goddamn shame, Tamara. Yeah, she said, laugh my fucking ass off. He literally asked me if he wanted a lot of mayo on his sandwich, and he got offended, but we're the sensitive ones. Yep. Of a motherfucking mayonnaise sandwich. So anyway, he put his picture up of Obama and President Reagan, and says, I've been fortunate enough to meet four presidents, Bush 43 and Carter, not pictured. I know this, we are all more alike than different in massive ways. Thank you for the men and women who serve us at the highest level and those who do so right now around the globe. We will continue to work to make the country better tomorrow than we found it today. Unfortunately for him, however, several people question whether he met with Trump since he surely voted for him, right? Wrong. According to Adam, he didn't support Trump nor Hillary. Excuse me, I have never supported Trump. I didn't support either candidate because they were both wrong in my eyes.
So you vote for Bernie?
Not either one of them. For different reasons, hashtag get it right. But if I did, which I didn't, it would have been my right as an American in this free country. Then he replied, nope, said it from the beginning, hashtag get a life and bye bye. So another fan agreed with him. Where have you been? That's public knowledge. I don't know him too well, except he usually appears on The Real. I Google him and it's the first thing that appears beside the fact that he's married to Tamara Mowry. And I think he said it on her show when she said that he was a reporter, but I guess he can't be all that bad. He did marry Tamara Mowry and I'm sure she won't marry a jerk. We may not agree with him politically, but I think he may be a decent person, but I don't know him personally, just a fan of his wife. And she seems like she makes good choices. So after all this crap, I type give Adam Housley a chance. He probably not a bad guy. And just because we giving him a chance doesn't mean we have to start watching Fox News. You can stick to MSNBC or CNN or whatever you watch. Tamara responded and said, yes, we have a winner here. Someone who speaks some sense. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And then she posted a picture of her with her man. In this day and age of the divisiveness and rudeness, I have a beacon of hope by my side. She is stunningly beautiful. Oh, he posted this. She is stunningly beautiful. has a heart of gold and is my best friend. To all those that judge and lie and misrepresent, just know you are battling a bond sealed by a much higher power. You have no chance. And then he posted another picture from way back in the day when they was hugging and said, I know two gushy ones in 1 week, but 12 years ago yesterday I came home from covering Southeast Asian tsunami and went on a date with a girl I had just met. Best decision of my life. This was one of our first picks together. So what you think, Karen? 0 to 100.
I give Mayo Apocalypse 100.
You give him 100, Karen? Mm. Mayo Apocalypse 100?
Mm, fuck about your mayo. What the?
All right. can't argue with that reasoning. I don't know, man. I still feel a little fucked with, but I feel more fucked with by the, like, just give him a chance, y'all, and all that shit. It is weird to think of the concept of dating a person not of my race, specifically a white person, and them voting or supporting Trump in any way. I wouldn't know how to get over that. And I said that on social media, and a couple people was like, well, I had to deal with it, and this happened, and that happened. I'm like, man, I don't know how I would deal with that. Honestly, I don't. I mean, you have to assume that you're with them because you love them and all the shit that you go through, right? But I don't know how that's not a huge deal breaker. But at the same time, I couldn't really imagine why white women would think it's okay that the vast majority of their men voted for him unless they voted for him too. Like, I could, like, cause if you look at the difference, it's only like a 10% difference, amongst white men and white women in voting for Trump. So that 10%, I wonder, you know, if they're in relationships and they're with white men, they're dealing with that, you know, and what kind of coping mechanism do you have to do, and what kind of, what kind of hurdles do you have to jump through mentally where that's okay? You know, they, like, especially if you're gonna have kids and shit, like, this person's responsible for the education and the mentality a kid is gonna take on. And I don't know, man, that just seems so fucking scary to me.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's something that I know I would have a tremendous problem with. Because I'm looking at you like I thought you loved me, and you basically voted against my existence.
Yeah. So I don't know. For me, I'm not going to say 100 because I'm not 100 fucked with yet. But I would say 25 probably, because I want to just trust Tamara Mowry and just, as a black woman, hope that she is making sure she's respected and all that shit, you know. Hopefully she wouldn't marry no fucking Herb like that, but I don't know her, right? And I don't know him, so I don't feel fucked with as much, because I think it would be different if Tamara was out here like, yo, this motherfucker voted for Trump, you know what I mean?
Right. I think my anger comes from the fact,
wait, he do work for Fox News. What does he do for Fox News? Is he a Fox Newser? Like, is he, I don't know. Now I gotta go up, because Fox News, I mean, who the fuck can work for that channel and not be evil? You know? I don't know. That's,
and I guess my problem comes in is that you try to equate racism to motherfucking mayo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's my problem.
Yeah. I mean, but she might have been joking about how mad he got, you know what I mean? Like, it could have been cute, you know what I mean? Like if Leslie Mae drew a sandwich and he was like, oh, you put all this mayo on here because I'm white, like, I would be like, well, clearly he's fucking joking, but I kind of know Drew,
right?
And I I don't know these people, so I'm like, that motherfucker might have a problem. Whereas, you know, if I heard, you know, like, if I heard Clove did it from Chonilla, I'd be like, well, obviously that motherfucker's joking,
right? But it goes back to some of the stuff you said before. When you take public, private things, you put it in the public.
Yeah, we don't know these people,
right?
Yeah, I'm not arguing with you, for the record. I'm talking about myself. I'm hemming and hawing on what I would rate it. You already said 100, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't know what I would rate it, because I feel like I don't feel 100 fucked with, but I do feel fucked with. I gotta go 75. He work with Fox. Like, the Fox thing put me over the edge, because I just can't imagine a nigga working on Fox. It's like, actually, I'm super liberal, guys. I feel like he would.
And he probably, I bet you he voted for Bernie, but since Bernie didn't make it, he was like, I'm not voting for
him. See, you saying Bernie, y'all giving him a lot of credit. I'm feeling like Kasich or whatever, cause that dude, Ted Cruz, y'all saying Jill Stein. No, I'm not saying nobody on the left. I'm saying a Republican that just wasn't Trump. I feel like he would have been like, oh, I would have voted for Jeb.
I would have voted for Bush.
Because people don't remember that before Trump, there were all these other people that a white person could vote for where we would be used to it. So it's not saying that it's any better, but we've gotten so fucking accustomed to white people voting Republican that for the most of us, we would be like, well, I understand they had to vote for somebody and Jeb was the least problematic of them. Or this, you know what I mean? They would have found a way, because I remember... Shit, I fondly look back at the idea of McCain and Romney now. So that's how fucked up Trump is. So we're trying to look back from the future and look at the past. And I'm saying he could have openly been like, oh, I'm voting for, I don't know, one of these motherfuckers I don't fuck with. And I would have been like, well, can't be worse than Trump. So, you know, there's a compromise to it. So he might have been like, I was voting for Ben Carson or whoever the fuck.
Right, and they didn't get nominated, so I didn't vote for either party.
Yeah, assuming it was motherfucking somebody on the left is a lot to me. The nigga worked for Fox. You better got some paperwork to show for that. Oklahoma State University student apologized for racist black Snapchat. Last week, a group of Oklahoma State University students were in hot water after a racist photo of them wearing blackface to celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. Day was discovered by the school's African American Association. Celebrating our first MLK day off the school, and just to clarify in case there's any confusion, because everyone in the pic is posting about how they're back in Stillwater. Crazily enough, we are back too. We actually go to school here. Hashtag the more you know. I can show y'all the picture. My bad. I was gonna describe it, but y'all should see this racism up close in front. OSU African American Association responded on Twitter. They took a screenshot and said, what a shame that some cowboys have exposed such an ugly side of themselves. OSU, what are you going to do? OK State. You see the picture? Mm-hmm. Now, another student who was under fire for wearing blackface on Snapchat has come out to apologize following the incident. Candace Burgess posted a vile pic on Snapchat with the caption, when he says he only likes black girls. The student later issued an apology. I'm deeply sorry for those I've offended. My intentions were not at all to be racist. For anyone who knows me, you know I am not racist.
Don't be telling them bald face lies.
Nigga, please. Oh my God. You know I'm not racist, Karen. I don't have a racist bone in my body.
I'm not buying.
Cook that nigga. Yep. Get her, Oklahoma State. Get her ass. I had no idea about the incident with the other two girls and their black face mask. That's just unfortunate timing. It just means y'all all racist. Are they racist? Because she'll probably be like, well, they probably racist, but me, I'm different. As for the business school, first thing tomorrow morning, I will resign. I don't want people to think that that is what Eastern Center and Career Services is about. They had the best of intentions and want to motivate everyone.
Whatever. Y'all white girls be just fine.
Trump's America. 0 to 100, Karen?
Oh. Motherfucking 100. To me, this always gets 100.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I just have to ask. That's the segment, Karen.
Yeah, it always get 100. And it's one of the reasons why I say I don't trust white women when it comes to how y'all voted. Because you do shit like this right here. Like this right here. Where I hear what they did, mm-hmm. You go, oh. And then when I call you out for your bullshit, I'm the problem.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I gotta give it 100. Mm-hmm. AT&T faces a lawsuit from executive fired over racist text messages. AT&T's former head of video content and advertising sales is suing the company for breach of contract and defamation over his firing in 2015 during the regulatory review of AT&T's $49 billion acquisition of DirecTV. Lawyers for Aaron Slater argued in a 12-page lawsuit filed in Los Angeles County Court on Tuesday that the former AT&T executive had been cleared in an investigation of allegedly racist text messages found on his phone by his executive assistant in 2013. AT&T fired Slater over the text in 2015 after another executive assistant filed a lawsuit for discrimination and harassment. So this motherfucker got accused of racism twice by two different executive assistants, but somehow he's suing them. AT&T told Mr. Slater that they had thoroughly investigated the 2013 situation and promised him that his job was secure, said his lawyer, Patricia Glasser, in a statement. Then, almost 2 years later, with no evidence or allegations and without investigating the matter, AT&T unceremoniously fired Mr. Slater.
Mm-hmm. They don't want them problems.
He got accused twice, and this motherfucker out here like, I'm the victim. Right. On Tuesday, and they got to keep his job the first time, by the way.
All right, and AT&T like, nah, we gonna put like this. You're not worth the money that we're getting ready to lose from fucking customers. Like you, if you're not making money or saving money, you become a liability. They was like, you got to go.
Like, what about my civil rights?
I don't give a damn about your civil rights when our customers be like, I'm canceling my service.
Mm-hmm. What about my rights to discriminate?
Mm-mm.
AT&T stole on that. Okay, AT&T on Tuesday defended its decision to fire Slater. Diversity and inclusion are important core values to us, the company said in a statement. We stand behind our decision to terminate Mr. Slater and are confident that his baseless allegations will ultimately be rejected. He had headed up content acquisition and advertised for AT&T's cable, TV, broadband, internet, and wireless internet services, and his firing made headlines around the country. Slater was also working on the DirecTV acquisition, which was approved by the Federal Communications Commission and completed in 2015. According to the lawsuit, Slater's executive assistant in 2013 filed a complaint with the EEOC that alleged rampant racial discrimination by AT&T executives, including Slater. The complaint included the charge that the assistant had found racist text messages on Slater's phone, but an internal investigation by AT&T found no discrimination, the lawsuit claims. Slater claims he offered to resign, but was assured by several AT&T superiors that such a move was unnecessary. It's funny how it was really only them trying to get to acquire another company that had this audit, and then was like, oh, we got to get rid of him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, up until then, he was straight. Like, he would have been fine, but they were like, oh, wait, the government's about to come through and look at all our shit? Ah, right. You got to go, bro. Right. You got to go.
We don't want them problems.
Time to clean up.
All right. We thank you for your services in this acquisition, but it's time for us to depart. We wish you the best in your future endeavors. That's how that letter went.
0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, I'm not fucking with you. He lost his job. But 25, mm-hmm. Just for the simple fact that it took 2 times before you fired him, but I'm glad he lost his job.
Yeah, I say 25 as well, because it's him suing them, so I'm still a little fucked with. Like, he really like, I had the right to discriminate. What the fuck? Them was just private niggers I was calling people.
Ah!
You went through my phone.
I did call them AT&T, of course.
Restaurant owner boots customer for being black. Says Trump's president now, so I can say what I want. Pennsylvania restaurant owner allegedly suggested Donald Trump's election had given him the right to kick out black customers. And he reportedly used a racial slur to underline his point.
Ah, put that exclamation on it.
You can kick out black customers. That's the lesson he learned from Trump being
in
elected.
Trump America? Because that's what Trump told him. Trump ran on motherfucking racism. I don't know why people act shocked and surprised.
But you sure this man didn't just have a lot of economic anxiety, Karen?
Nope. Mm-mm. Trump told them, if I'm president, y'all, we gonna take it back. And take it back, me niggas, use the back door. Take it back, me, what the fuck you doing in my store, boy? That's what the fuck that meant. And that's what they heard. And they was like, well, since Trump won, I get to do what the fuck I want to do.
But what if it's just that his 401k is shrinking, and you know
that ain't got nothing to do with no goddamn.
He's worried about his health insurance.
Nope, don't care about no 401k.
Maybe he lost his coal mining job.
Nope, he get to kick niggas out no matter if he got health care or not.
Bug said that Bug said that he and some friends were the only customers in the restaurant at 1:30 a.m. and he said they were sitting quietly and watching television. The owner told Bug to leave. I own three restaurants and I don't need you niggers money, the owner said, according to Bug. Bug asked the waitress for the money back and she agreed. But the owner confronted the students again as they were leaving. The students admit he flipped some chairs in frustration at that point. He told the owner, that's not the way to treat people. The owner, however, justified his behavior. Trump's president now, so I can say what I want. The owner said, you niggers need to get out. The students left to find some friends for support and returned to the restaurant to find the owner had called police on them. Bug said officers told him the manager was known for doing stuff like this. Why is he allowed to have a business?
Right!
To serve the public. Police are continuing to investigate the incident and the owner has declined the newspaper request for comments. Oh, man. 0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
100 for me as well.
Be one of that. Like I said, I'm glad no shit like this happened to me, because I would find the time to fucking protest in front of your door every motherfucking morning.
Yeah.
I would be there from the time you open, the time you motherfucking close, with a sign that said, he called me a nigga.
Yeah. And then the lines would be out the door for white folks that voted for Trump.
Of course.
They'd be like, oh, this is the place to eat. Finally.
You can't be in there.
Finally. I saw you call them nigga. High five. Let me get a number two special. Minnesota cop deems racist text exchange while with Black Lives Matter shooter locker room talk. Minnesota police officer Brett Levin attempted to justify racist text exchange with a high school friend responsible for shooting five Black Lives Matter protesters on Tuesday. The Burnsville cop testified that former classmate Alan Lance Scarsella sent him texts that were negative about Black people on a regular basis. Oh, they just kicking it. One of them just happens to be a police officer. I guess they both went into fields where they could shoot niggas. Levin proceeded to take a page out of Donald Trump's book. When he dismissed the severity of the messages, how we were talking was more along the lines of locker room talk. I mean, what is locker room talk now? I need to know. Cause I heard locker room talk was saying, I'm gonna fuck this woman and grab her pussy and shit. Now it's fuck these fucking niggers and shit. Like, what is locker room talk?
Oh, that all goes together. Like, all that locker room talk. Yeah, talking about raping bitches and beating them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I need a clear definition.
You'll never get one.
Of what counts as locker room talk.
Cause you've been in a locker room too. You know.
I mean, I've been in locker rooms. Nobody ever been like,
I have too, but
you know what? I want to kill a couple brown niggers today. Like, no one, we've talked about the game. We've talked about the stock market, even politics, but I've never had a locker room experience where a white man pulled a towel off his nuts and said to me, what about these damn niggers? Not once. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's a different locker room. According to the site, he was not asked to describe the content of their conversations. Prosecutors assert that Scarcella's beliefs were the driving force behind the decision to shoot five Black men at a protest November 23rd, 2015, which was held in honor of Jamar Clark, an unarmed Black man killed by police. Accompanied by three others, Scarcella concealed his identity with a mask before entering the event. A fight allegedly broke out after the protesters asked them to remove their disguises. Levin was on patrol for the Mankato Police Department, which he has since left. When Scarcella called to report the shooting during the early morning hours, November 24th, I believe Scarcella told me that one of his friends pushed him down as the protesters caught up to them. One of the protesters pulled out a knife, and that's when Lance pulled a gun and shot. Yeah, this nigga was Jack Bauer now. Yeah, it was really because the protesters were attacking me. I'm the real victim. I was just trying to survive.
I don't believe you. Y'all was in their disguise. So that tells me you were up to no bit.
Armed.
No good. Right. And
you have these beliefs, these racist beliefs before you even show up. What are you even doing at the protest? If you didn't come out there to shoot some people. All shooting victims survived. Scarcella currently faces felony assault and riot charges in the pending case, while his companion Nathan Gustavson, Daniel Macy, and Joseph Backman have been charged with second degree riot and aiding an offender. 0 to 100, Karen?
100, because odds are they're going to be all right, and probably no charges are going to get passed, or if you do, you get community services and fuck shit like that.
That's your friend, too, right? Hey, me and him, we just kick it, talk. about these niggas and shit. We never take it too seriously. Gospel singer Vicky Yo apologizes after blasting Women's March with White Jesus White House meme. And this appears to be a white woman of the Tammy Faye Baker variety. She seems to be a makeup American. When will people I too am a mascara American.
Yes.
When will people learn there
I too wear big hair.
When will people learn there's nothing Christian about that big old hateful Cheeto? Over the weekend, gospel singer Vicky Yo sure learned the hard way. She posted a meme in response to the Global Women's March. It was a white Jesus holding two suitcases, says, on my way back to the White House. Now keep in mind, anyone who associates Donald Trump with religion,
something wrong
with
you.
But did not associate Barack Obama with religion. You racist, dog. Racist.
Nothing Donald Trump has ever said has suggested that he even steps a foot into a sanctuary. Anybody's sanctuary.
They didn't just say Barack Obama wasn't religious. They went so far as to say, well, he's Muslim, which is also a religion, but it was the quote unquote wrong religion.
Right. And even then, if he runs, who cares?
Oh, they care. They do. So I want to clarify.
Okay.
So not only did they say he was it wasn't just that he wasn't religious or atheist. They went so far as to be like, this motherfucker is a Muslim. And that's why we really got to hate him, right? Okay. Now we know this dude that they also hated Barack Obama because he had Jeremiah Wright as his pastor. So which is it? Is it that he's going to Christian church, but it's the wrong one? Or is it that he's not Christian at all and he's secretly a Muslim? What is going on, guys? It seems like a lot.
Anything it takes.
So she says, march all you want, protest all you want. President Donald J. Trump, in all caps, is our president for at least 4 years. No weapon formed against him will prosper. You know you are doing something right when there is so much opposition. Hashtag exciting time. As you can imagine, the response of Swift is her mentions and comments on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter were filled with outraged former fans.
Come on.
At Vicky Yo, public accounts are now private. Don't throw the rock. Hide your hands now. I guess she's preparing her alternate facts. Hashtag. Roland Martin said, Vicky Yo is another white evangelical who insults the faith of President Obama, but she likes those black singing checks. Oh, so she be singing black people. That's bad. Martin, yes, I do. I sure do. Yo, because white people want to come in and they want to sing the few songs, hear a sermon, and be out in 30 minutes, an hour, 90 minutes. Black people, we want to come in. Look, you see white, but I'm really black. Okay. Black folk songs, we're going to repeat a line about 40, 50 times. It's just kind of a cultural thing. So when she got interviewed Roland Martin, it seems she was saying, I'm black, because she adopted biracial children in an orphanage in Uganda. The dad passed it at a black church. So
that don't make you black.
She was black when it was convenient.
She Rachel Dolezal Allen.
Yeah, she going the opposite of Rachel Dolezal. She running back to whiteness. With the quickness. She's a black people. We want to come in. Look, you see white, but I'm really black. You see, so she's like, I'm black inside because I sing soulful black church hymns. That's why I don't give no passes, dog. You're not black.
How do they treat you? And that's the thing. Mm-hmm. When people go out, I don't care what you call yourself. Call yourself whatever you want to call yourself. But when people look at you and they don't know a motherfucking thing about you, how do they treat you?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So she got roasted. Sean King wrote a long ass piece about him. I'm not clicking on. So then finally, I almost kind of want to read the Sean King thing, but then I know the shade will be too much. And then we all in this together and people trying to help and all that shit. And I don't want to contribute to the shade, but, let's just say, I'll read this third point. Lastly, what I think you mean is that white Jesus and white supremacy are returning to the White House. That is why you share the image of a random white man with luggage. That's not Jesus, and Donald Trump is not ushering in the return of Jesus. All right. Vicky says, I'm responding to what's going around on the internet. Feel free to share. Good morning, friends and family. What's going around on the internet?
You are.
You mean what you said? I'm responding to what's going around on the internet. You know, just randomly. You know, just log into Facebook.
First of all, bitch.
Just to say that. Just log in just to say, first of all, bitch. Many of you are inboxing me and asking if I truly believe God wasn't in the White House. I believe Jesus was in the White House. He's everywhere as a believer. Many of the things that President Obama stood up for, I could never endorse. Colored lights on the White House celebrating gay marriage. It always comes back down to that, don't it? You Christian, but you hate them gay people. In 2007, the late Kim Clement's prophecy made it clear that Donald Trump would be president. Do I agree with him 100? No. Do I approve of things he has said or done? No. But his word let me know he will be elected as God has a plan. I have been called every name in the book, the foulest names by so-called believers. I love all of you and I'm praying for America. She then went on and said, I never want to ever hurt anyone, and that has never been my intention. If I have hurt you, I am truly sorry. It is true that I'm excited about the thought of a government that will protect Christianity and not attack it. Is that what you think this is? Is that what you think this is? I do not condone any wrong things Trump has said or done in the past. Name them. I also did not mean to imply that Obama was not a Christian, but meant that the policies his administration pursued many times went against what most Christians believe. Once again, speaking loud for most Christians. I posted this pic quickly after someone sent it to me. In retrospect, I know that in haste I did it without considering how some may view it and the meanings they would derive from it. I regret that and I apologize for it. Various people with large followings have attacked me on social media platforms in the last 24 hours. Attack. I have been... So you weren't attacking Obama with your initial shit, your shady shit? I guess it's okay for him to be attacked by you and your following, but... The taking that people disagree, all of a sudden you got to run for the hills. Fragile ass. I've been branded a racist and endured continual attacks from thousands of people. We had to shut down all social media because of the scores of vulgar messages and threats. We are all still getting emails and phone calls calling me nasty things and above all, racist. Oh, y'all hate the R word. Racist people hate that shit. How dare thee? You niggas keep calling me racist. It's the worst thing you can say about somebody.
Come on.
Their goal now is to ruin me. We have churches calling to the cancel their ministry dates and thousands of people saying they will never buy the music again. I know who I am and who I'm not, and I'm not a racist. People who know my personal life would find that label the most ridiculous adjective you could assign to me. Bottom line, I was wrong, but my intentions were not what they have been perceived to be.
You apologize because motherfuckers like, nope, you cannot come here and I will never purchase your shit again. Stop fucking with your money.
Is that supposed to be an apology?
That's not an apology. That get a zero on the Drew and Leslie scale. That's a non-apology.
That's supposed to be an apology. What do people think an apology? What do people think an apology is exactly?
I do not know. I think people think vaguely talking about something is apologizing. I think I guess this must be an art to apologizing, but motherfuckers don't like to be like, my bad, my fault, this is what I did, this is how I'm going to correct this, this is how I'm going to change this, I see things differently now, you know, moving forward, these are the actions that I'm going to take to be sure this is not, you don't get any of that, you get, if I hurt your feelings, for those who were offended, motherfucker, that's not a goddamn apology. You're making broad, general, sweeping statements because you don't want to admit you were goddamn wrong.
Yep. That's the bottom goddamn line. Anyway. Let's go ahead and get into... Well, no, let's do one more.
Everybody can get 100.
Yeah, that's 100, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much 100. Here, let's do one more. Go back to Africa.
Ah!
Bigoted Florida judge resigns after allegedly spewing racist and sexist comments from the bench. From the bench.
Could you know it's a person that types everything down. So I couldn't even imagine them going click 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 click. Okay, click 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 click. Mm-hmm. So it's like in the transcript.
Somebody had to.
You can't even deny that shit because you ain't the people that sit in like every courtroom and like type
stenographers.
Shit out, right? They're
called stenographers. Judge Mark Holsey apparently is the person accused of this. He's a Florida judge and he was. It's BET News, so it's funky. Oh, they don't even have all the. This ain't even the audio of it, is it?
Uh oh.
Let's see.
Witness an inauguration. Period.
Oh, this is some random news. Nah. Anyway, on Monday, Duval Circuit Judge Mark Holsey III resigned his Jacksonville area judgeship just a day before the impeachment investigation by a legislator was set to begin. So he's about to get impeached.
Right. So he's like, I'm getting impeached. Well, fuck it, you gorilla looking niggers gone back to Africa.
Yeah, he definitely did it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And tap dance his ass back into his office with that robe on.
Mm-hmm.
My robe just having me black this time. If I could have worn white when I would have. What the fuck is happening here?
It's just dirty. I ain't had time to take it to the cleaners yet.
Alrighty, clean it. I forgot my hood today, y'all.
Anyway, let's go give some unbiased judge verdicts real quick.
I know, right?
He had been under Judicial Qualification Commission's radar after allegedly calling a female staff attorney a bitch and a cunt. Wonder who he voted for. The judge was also believed to have said that black people should get back on the ship and go back to Africa. And all, he was accused of 18 separate violations. Among other comments, A, you refer to the prior lead staff attorney as bitch and cunt. B, you have demeaned female staff attorneys by referring to them as like cheerleaders who talked during the national anthem. C, you berated a staff attorney who failed to remain in the courtroom while a jury was deliberating. During his capital trial, you required the staff attorney to provide you with basic information about capital trial procedures. And then at the end of the 2-week trial, you unfairly berated and blamed the staff attorney for mistakes you made during the course of the trial.
Holy shit.
Although he was more than likely going to be impeached, he curtailed legislator investigation by preemptively resigning. He resigned under the threat of investigation, House Speaker Richard Corcoran said Monday. In his resignation letter, he said, I hereby tender my resignation as judge of the Circuit Court of the State of Florida, 4th Judicial Circuit, Group 25, effective on this 23rd day of January 2017 at 10:15 a.m. He added, it's been an honor and a privilege to serve the people of the state of Florida.
Fuck you. And if anybody, they won't do this, but if anybody was smart, I would go back and investigate every fucking thing that went before him. Because I guarantee you, he threw a lot of brown people in jail.
Yeah, that's 100 for me, dog.
Investigate that shit.
What about you?
100.
All right.
I hopped off the plane at LAX with a dream, my cardigan. Welcome to the land of fame, excess. Am I gonna fit in? Jumped in the cab, here I am for the first time. Look to my right and I see the Hollywood. Crazy. Everybody's so famous. My tummy's turning and I'm feeling kind of homesick. Too much pressure.
And I'm nervous.
Cause when the taxi man turned on the radio.
And the Jay-Z song was on. And the Jay-Z song was on. And the Jay-Z song was on. That's when I put my hands up. Playing my song with the butterfly fly away. Like yeah. Moving my hips like yeah. My hands up, playing my song, let the butterfly fly away. Hey, it's a party in the USA. Yeah, it's a party in the USA.
Get to the club in my taxi cab, everybody's looking at me now. Like, who's that chick that's rocking kicks? She gotta be from out of town. So hard with my girls not around me. It's definitely not a Nashville party. Cause all I see are the letters. I guess I never got the memo.
Mm-hmm.
My tummy's turning and I'm feeling kinda homesick. Too much pressure
and I'm nervous. everybody's hands up, playing my song, let the butterfly fly away. Bobbing my hips like yeah, moving my hips like yeah. Put your hands up, to play my song, let the butterfly fly away. Yeah, it's a party in the USA. Yeah, it's a party in the USA. Don't be hating.
That song gonna make you forget about all your worries.
It's white people news time, guys. Unfortunately, we can't forget about all our worries, because we got to start with the first part of white people news, which is that y'all's man.
100.
Trump is saying we're going to bring back torture. Going to bring back torture. Got to fight fire with fire.
I believe that.
John McCain like, we absolutely will not. And I said, nigga, what you going to do about it? Come on. He already won. Give him a chance.
somebody who was captured and tortured.
Yeah.
Himself.
What would he know about torture? You know, which essentially when the president gives the okay to torture on our end, well, he's also giving the okay to torture our soldiers.
Right.
So you're essentially telling anybody that has any prisoners from America to torture them.
Because you give zero fucks about American citizens.
Around the world.
And a lot of soldiers, quote unquote, voted for him. Because, you know, he's going to do right by the troops. And, you know, he cares about the army. And, yeah, when he get to cutting funding to the military, when he get to, you know, not supporting VA hospitals and shit like that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Donald Trump also wants to send in the feds to fix Chicago. Yeah. If Chicago doesn't fix the horrible carnage going on, 228 shootings in 2017 with 42 killings, up 24% from 2016, I will send in the feds.
What the fuck are they supposed to do? That's not the problem.
Chicago murder rate is record setting. 4,331 shooting victims of 762 murders in 2016. If the mayor can't do it, he must ask for federal help. Dwayne Wade's cousin was just shot and killed. This was, these are the older tweets. Now, Dwayne Wade's cousin was shot and killed walking her baby in Chicago. Just what I have been saying. African Americans will vote Trump. This is last year. That's your man.
That's your man. So basically, what you gonna go occupy a whole fucking city?
Just
take over a whole goddamn city?
Listen, just two sides of the same coin. I mean, ain't that the same as what Hillary would have did? She would have sent the feds.
What you gonna do? Permanently occupy these places? Because the second you leave, unless you fix the root of a lot of issues, which is a lot.
Why do you think they'll leave?
That's true. They might just
military force shouldn't be sent into civilian territory anyway. Military is not trained in anything but killing niggas and shit. Like basic training, not how to talk to people. You know what I mean? You essentially treating it at like it's fucking RoboCop out there. But that's your man's. Mm-hmm. Secret Service agent under fire after posting she wouldn't take a bullet for Trump. Agent Carrie O'Grady said, I ain't taking no bullet for this nigga. Secret Service taking appropriate action after special agent wrote on Facebook post suggested she wouldn't take a bullet for Donald Trump if he were president. Secret Service spokesperson confirmed that the agency was aware of the Facebook post made by Special Agent Carrie O'Grady but wouldn't elaborate on them further because it's a personnel matter. The post was reportedly written in October. But came under spotlight after the Washington Examiner article on Tuesday. Screenshots of them have been circulated on social media as critics for her have called for her to be fired. I can't imagine she won't be fired. Her post read, as a public servant of nearly 23 years, I struggle not to violate the Hatch Act, so I'll keep quiet and skirt the median. To do otherwise can be a criminal offense for those in my position, despite the fact that I'm expected to take a bullet for both sides. But this world has changed and I have changed, and I would take jail time over a bullet or an endorsement for what I believe to be a disaster for this country and strong and amazing women and minorities who reside here. Hatch Act be damned, I'm with her.
Yeah, a lot of that came. Somebody brought it up in the chat room. She probably didn't think he was going to get elected.
Mm-hmm. Well,
like, right. She didn't think he was going to be elected.
She took out the post. She took down the post after 2 or 3 days and said that she wouldn't shirk her duties to protect the president despite her support of Trump's Democratic rival, Hillary Clinton. It was an internal struggle for me, but as soon as I put it up, I thought it was not the statement that I needed to share because I care very deeply about the mission, she said. So of course people call for her to be fired and all the things that come along with that.
Yep.
But that's not her man, but that's still y'all's man.
That's not her man.
Dippin' Dots, you know, the ice cream.
Yes.
They want to throw an ice cream social for the White House. Apparently
that nasty ass shit. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Dippin' Dots is terrible. Because I never had Dippin' Dots and I tried that shit. I was like, what the fuck is this? It's nasty. It's terrible. It gets everywhere. It tastes like sawdust. Dippin' Dots are nasty.
Well, I guess now they're going to have an ice cream social with us, because apparently the reason they want to do an ice cream social is because the press secretary, Sean Spicer, talked shit about Dippin' Dots a lot. Over the past 7 years, he's been talking shit about them on social media. Well, he thinks so as well. So you have that in common with Sean Spicer.
The one thing Trump we do guys have in common.
Yeah, they found out about the tweets. They decided to respond with a peace offering rather than to clap back at the White House. Subsequently, they drafted an open letter to Sean Spicer that invited him and the White House to an ice cream social.
That's not even real ice cream. What the fuck are we talking about here? I ought to be able to bite into it and taste real ice. Sorry.
But instead, he responded and said he would like them to have an ice cream social for a different cause. Sorry for the delay. How about we do something great for those who have served our nation and our first responders instead? Ice cream for the military and the vets. Now, why would you punish these people? I don't know. Yeah, and he's been consistently on their shit. April 7, 2010. Dippin' Dots is not the ice cream of the future. September 22, 2011. I think I have said this before, but Dippin' Dots are neither ice cream or the are not the ice cream of the future. 2011. November 4th.
That's
ice cream
wrong,
of the
Kate.
Ice cream of the past. Dippin' Dots files for bankruptcy. Then in 2015, he said, if Dippin' Dots were truly the ice cream of the future, they would not have run out of vanilla. CC at Nationals. He is not a fan.
Not a fan at all, apparently.
The USDA lifts the gag order. Apparently, Trump issued a gag order, the White House did, on a lot of scientists and stuff, national parks people, to stop talking about climate change and environmentalism and all that shit.
People who are professionals in this field, okay.
But apparently they heard enough from the American people that they decided not to roll forward with that.
Temporarily.
They'll be providing updated direction to its staff, ARS values, and is committed to maintaining the free flow of information between our scientists and the American public.
Temporarily. As soon as our short-term memory forget, we move on to some other shit. A lot of this stuff he's saying to distract people, because at the end of the day, they're going to go back, and next thing you know, motherfuckers going to go silent, and ain't nobody going to know why.
Yeah. This also happened with the EPA. Trump administration issued a gag order. Departments of Commerce, Health and Human Services, and Interior, sparking backlash and concerns that he is attempting to silence any dissenting views and control the messaging for federal agencies.
Right.
What did you think he would do, number one? Number two,
right.
The other part of this that is interesting, once again, Republicans want to keep people stupid.
Right.
That's why I'm 100%, I mean, I'm not very much of a conspiracy theory person, but I'll never be convinced that them attacking the teachers union and stripping education funds isn't disaster directly to affect people and keep them stupid. and more importantly to funnel people right into the prison pipeline. I'm convinced.
Of course. I 100% agree.
Especially once prison went private. Especially then.
Right. And the thing is, when people are dumb, you can quote unquote tell them what to do. You know, right now, you know, our generations and the, you know, few generations before, a lot of us are highly educated, have degrees, certificates, you know, and it's just one of those things that for a lot of adults that are, I'll say, 25 and above, we're a lost generation. So they go, well, let's get the younger children so we can make them dumb. So as they get older, we can continue to tell them what to do. We can't have people who actually know about things that can actually challenge us and hit us with facts and shit. We're going to have a generation, we can tell them what the truth is, and it's very scary, because you know, you have a generation now that's not learning about government, they're not learning about history, they're not, you know, everything is being whitewashed, and it's one of those things where you go, well, wow, where are we going with this?
I just think stupid people play right into everything they like.
Right.
Like, if you're stupid, if you're not educated, then it's easier to throw you in jail, and if you're white, it's easier for you to vote Republican. Because all the things they believe are stupid. They're anti-science, they're anti-intellectualism, they're anti-education, they're anti-climate change. Like, they're just... honestly, if you vote Republican, it caters to idiots. You know, unless you some rich motherfucker, you just voting against your interests because you're stupid. And that's the list. Everything else is just theory and shit. Anyway, let's get to the other white people news that's less infuriating. Angelina Jolie's first major job after a split with Brad Pitt has been revealed.
Aw, shit, now what's up?
Mm-hmm. It was announced on Monday that Angelina Jolie will be the face of the new fragrance from Guerlain Parfumeur, Mon Guerlain. Mm-hmm. It also happens to be her first major public facing job since announcing her divorce from Brad Pitt in September. According to the French luxury beauty company's announcement, the contract was signed back in December 2015 while she was in Cambodia directing First They Killed My Father, nearly a full year before Pitt and Jolie's custody battle turned acrimonious. Still, it's her first major work announcement since her name and Pitt's lit up the headlines in September. The partnership is also her first beauty ambassador contract in 10 years. Her last was with Shiseido in 2007, and she'll be donating all of her pay to so far unnamed charities, according to their new release. So there you go. She's out here on these streets now.
Brand as hell.
Star attraction Kendall Jenner displays her nipple pasties again as she wears entirely sheer top in Paris for the second time. Oh, she got them. She set the girls out, Karen. Okay. Now, they are pasties. Okay. I'll go to the next session when we come back, guys. I'll try to put it on screen. Okay. Because I know you guys need to see this groundbreaking white people news. Kendall Jenner trying to stunt for the gram. Mm-hmm. Pacers is back.
Apparently so. Meanwhile, on Instagram.
Well, this wasn't on Instagram. This was just out with the paparazzi. So. But I can't wait.
Hard to find out what's happening with Mama.
You were right.
Oh, that's your girl? No, like, that's your girl, right?
What the fuck? Love Rookie. She give them all the cookies, but cookies on me pussy. This girl is kind of loosey. Dudes take her off the shelf and they put her on credit. 30 days later, they return it and regret it. Use like a dish rag. Dump with a hashtag. I blame it on the pussy. That shit must be bad. Broken pussy. Broken pussy. Maybe it's dry as hell. Maybe it really smells. Broken pussy.
Oh my God, something about me.
Maybe it's really rough. Maybe it's had enough. Broken pussy. Nobody wants you cause you got a broken pussy. Nobody wants you cause you got a broken pussy. Broken pussy. Broken pussy. Hey.
her pussy.
Girl, I'm sorry, okay? It wasn't even about you. Daniel dared me to do it.
That's right. Kendall Jenner set the girls out, okay? She's partial to a costume change or two, but Kendall Jenner, 21, was clearly a big fan of her racy sheer top and sparkly star nipple paces, and she stepped out in the outfit for the second time in Paris on Saturday.
I'm not gonna lie. I like the stuff. Well, they start calling it like starfish.
You know, this is a weird thought, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But with the fur coat and the sheer top, and no sleeves and stuff, it made me feel like, what if she got underarm odor, you know? Like, you gotta be sweating at the pits in that, you know, because of the fur.
But yeah. I guess with the top, it's probably really light.
So maybe she don't.
Yeah, it's probably airy.
I mean, I'm sure she's fragranced up and stuff, but it just made me think, like, man, it would be funny if you was like, man, who underarm? Is that you, baby? No, that can't be. Oh, Nippy over there. The model followed her visit to L'Avenue restaurant earlier. Oh wait, it's French. I'm sorry. L'Avenue restaurant earlier in the day with a trip to the city's Ferdy restaurant with BFF Bella Hadid 20 in the evening. Kendall mixed things up wearing a sheer Danielle Guizzo creation. I like how if a rich person wears this, it's like so sophisticated and daring. But if like a regular woman wears this, it's like this stank hoe.
Come on.
People would be slut shaming her. What is wrong with her? What are you, a prostitute?
To be hashtagging all down my timeline.
Right. What hashtag, like, you let your girl wear this and all that shit. rich people do whatever the fuck they want.
Be like, hashtag, if your girl walk out of this, what you gonna do?
Right. Yes. You know it. Meanwhile, rich person does this like, wow, Kendall Jenner, so brave. So beautiful. Kendall.
So bold.
She mixed things up wearing the
shirt. So courageous.
All right, Karen. She mixed up.
Oh, my bad.
You gonna be doing this forever. Come on, man, keep going.
I'm good.
Fantastic. You want to throw fantastic
in there? Yes, magical.
There you go. White girl magic.
Come on. You may as well.
That's only when she's wearing the cornrows, Karen. Come on. hashtag white girls evolving. Anyway, she went out with her titties out. That's really it. It's also funny how classy pasties are now. I always thought that we would look down on that, but
I thought brunettes.
As a society, we are totally up. We up to date on the pasties, y'all.
Apparently so. They are apparently cute.
Yeah, I thought she was free to nipple though, but I guess sometimes people just be making shit up.
She ain't trying to be like Rihanna. Rihanna been like, pasty, what the fuck is that?
Mm-hmm.
Here you go.
Right. Rihanna be like, y'all niggas looking pasty.
Right.
The way y'all looking at these titties.
Come on.
Tom Ford lands in L.A. amid some hot water that he's going on. So he has a spat with the president because he said that he would not. He had some insulted comments about Melania. He was spotted at LAX airport on Wednesday, the same day the president-elect lashed out at him in an interview. He's 55. He said during an appearance on The View in November that he would not be dressing Melania Trump while she was at the White House because his clothes are too expensive for a first lady to wear, noting that in the position, she would have to relate to everybody. Donald Trump responded by telling Ansley Earnhardt on Fox and Friends that Melania never asked Tom Ford to dress her. Never asked Tom Ford, doesn't like Tom Ford, doesn't like his designs, said Trump. He then went on to say, Tom Ford is an example. I will not dress the first lady. He was never asked to dress. As Steve Wynn just called me and he said he thought it was so terrible that Tom Ford said that he threw his clothing out of his Las Vegas hotel. That was later confirmed by a spokesperson for Wynn Las Vegas, who told DailyMail.com Wynn Las Vegas confirms it removed Tom Ford lines or cosmetic and sunglasses from the resort this past weekend. But these are motherfuckers that get mad about freedom of speech. Anytime somebody claps back at them, it's always some like, what about freedom of speech, the PC culture? This dude says, I don't want to dress her because my clothes too expensive. And they go throw his clothes out on the street. Fuck him.
He He said, my clothes too nice, you'll drop the value.
Yeah. The designer looked sharp as he arrived in Los Angeles wearing a black suit paired with a white shirt and tennis shades. He was also carrying his own bags, one in each hand. He landed in Los Angeles the same day. That was confirmed that Wynn had gotten rid of his items. So, I don't think that matters to him, though. Wynn property in Las Vegas does not carry his clothing, though they did carry his designer beauty collection. In fact, Wynn has publicized the fact that his hotel has carried Tom Ford beauty many times in the past, noting they are one of the few places on the strip to carry the collection. Wynn also posted an ad over the weekend looking to hire someone to work at the Tom Ford counter, noting that they are currently growing and building that business. That's weird. That just shows that that ad was probably supposed to run before he threw out that shit, though. Melania, meanwhile, will reportedly be wearing Ralph Lauren to the inauguration on Friday. So, I don't know. Okay. Anyway, Michelle did it better. Let's see what else is going on with white folks these days. Okay, computer, move a little slow. That's cool. How about this one? Exclusive Southern Charms Jennifer Snowden tells how co-star Catherine Dennis turned her back on her after she became pregnant with brain-damaged baby and tried to poison Thomas Ravenel against her. The shade and the drama.
Right? What's happening?
I don't know any of these people, but it sounds really fucked up.
But you know, now you know I don't.
It was always an unlikely friendship forged between two women who might more easily be cast as love rivals. In fact, Catherine Dennis once went as far as to accuse Southern Charm castmate Jennifer Snowden of having an affair with Thomas Ravenel, the father of her children. It is something Jennifer has always denied, though the pair did briefly date. But for all of their tumult, Jennifer had come to view Catherine Dennis as one of her closest friends. Now Jennifer, 35, has revealed that their friendship is over, having dramatically imploded that when Catherine turned on her, ignored her texts and calls, and badmouthed her on social media just when she needed her the most. Speaking exclusively to the DailyMail.com from her home in Charleston, South Carolina, Jennifer said, Catherine and I pretty much haven't spoken since the Southern Charm reunion show last June. I guess that was the first time the public got to see the real hearts of the cast. And sadly, that didn't include the compassion of Catherine, who was supposed to be my friend. 15 weeks into her pregnancy, Jennifer received a devastating diagnosis that her unborn child was suffering from a life-threatening brain encephalocele. I don't know how you pronounce that. When the brain herniates, extruding through a portion of the skull. The prognosis was bleak. Jennifer was told most women choose to terminate the pregnancy, but decided not to. She endured a high-risk pregnancy with no guarantees of a happy outcome at the reunion of the popular Bravo TV show. Thomas Ravenel, 50, set aside their differences and responded to her plight with compassion. But according to Jennifer, his sympathy and her acceptance of it infuriated Catherine, 24, the volatile redhead and the mother of Ravenel's children, Kenzie, 2, and the one-year-old Saint, has not spoken to her former friend since. Jennifer revealed, I got emotional and Thomas had me handed me a handkerchief and I accepted it. And Catherine saw that it's me showing allegiance to him and not her. When that would have been nice, would have been for her to reach out and hug me. He was offering me compassion when I needed support, empathy, friendship from anywhere I could get it. And it was shocking to me that it didn't come from someone I had been such a good friend to.
Could you hand me a sweet tea there, baby?
Oh, I do declare I am catching the vapors. Thank you for this handkerchief. What a lovely, charming Southern gentleman you are. It is hotter than a tadpole in a swamp today. Instead, Jennifer said, she had been bad-mouthing me on social media because Thomas had been supportive, and that infuriated her. Worst that was to come is Jennifer discovered that much of Ravenel's hostility to her stemmed from the fact that he believed her to be dripping poison into Catherine's ear about supposed liaisons with other women. Today, Jennifer believes that Catherine was using her as a scapegoat, telling Ravenel that Jennifer was stirring up problems between them when, as anyone who watches the show knows, Thomas and Catherine are perfectly capable of stirring up problems for themselves. We all know. We do all know. Jennifer told DailyMail.com, Catherine was seeking a reaction from him in so many ways and telling him I had said things that just weren't the case. I was asking him, why does he even think these things? I blindly believed in the good in people, but I didn't know what she was doing. I was asking her, why does he think I'm saying these things? She said she didn't know. Now I know it's because, oh wait, that's still her. She said she didn't know. Now I know it's because she told him that, along with everything else, was a nail in the coffin of her friendship. I know she was dealing with her own drugs and alcohol issues during this time, I'm spilling the tea, girl.
All of it, apparently.
All of this nice southern sweet tea. Anyway, alcohol issues during this time, but having gone through all this, your tolerance for negativity is lessened to next to zero. I messaged her all the time before the birth was no response. I would tell her, I forgive you. I know you're going through a bad place. Bless her heart. Catherine demanded everybody treat her with kid gloves during her own pregnancy. She demands a level of respect she doesn't give another person on the planet. And I just got to the point where it was enough. I wish her well. I don't want anything bad to happen to her, but I don't have the energy left to navigate what it means to be her friend. I feel like she should have wrote that with a feather quill.
I know. Did she go bless her heart?
When Asher was born in September, cast members sent gifts. Matriarch Patricia Atchell and Whitney sent a sterling silver brush and bowl. Cameron gave a monogram pillow. Craig and Naomi gave a blooming bath. Are any black people on the show?
Probably not. Not if we give away blooming baths. Sound like a blooming onion. What's happening here?
London gave a dream, they probably service. London gave a dream catcher made by his sister. Thomas a stuffed jelly cat toy, and Catherine didn't even send a text. Not even a damn text. You could have at least sent a parcel through the mail.
Ah, a card!
Who's saying this? Hold on. Alright. The women have spoken since, but for Jennifer, it was the end of the road as far as her close friendship with Catherine is concerned. She said, I've been nothing if not blindly supportive of her, sometimes to the detriment of other relationships. But you reevaluate your friendships and what you expect from your friends, and I realized that I was giving so much to being a good friend and was receiving nothing in return. On Tuesday, the DailyMail.com spoke exclusively with Jennifer about the heartbreaking news of her son's rare brain encephalocele. A specialist told her that 85% of women with the diagnosis terminate the pregnancy. She handed me the abortion papers and said, you have 8 weeks to decide if you're going to terminate, but we can book you in 2 days' time, Jennifer said. Speaking from her home in Charleston, South Carolina. The fact that her son survived the eventual pregnancy, she said, makes him a miracle baby. Honestly, at this point, after everything I've gone through, there's not much that I'm afraid of anymore. I'm proud of myself and proud of Asher. After I got the news, I'd pray every night and I'd talk to my baby and tell him to be strong. I'd tell him he can rewrite what's supposed to be a bad history, she said. Oh, okay. It's pronounced encephalocele. Okay, that's how you pronounce it. Yeah. At any rate, man. A lot of dramas.
Yeah, why don't white crime happen in here?
What about the kids in Wisconsin? Mm-hmm. Sad to see white people turn on each other like this.
Come on.
All over a damn man.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you going to do? Just another day in the South living in Southern charm. Mm-hmm. All right, Karen. It's time to get to some Guess the Race, okay?
Okay.
Let me go find the Guess the Race music. Here we go.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race.
That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race, and they are certified racists. All right, let's get into this. A Florida woman was arrested last night after she pelted a cop with a wet, used tampon. Sounds like it was a bloodbath.
Oh. Sounds like it was another Bloody Sunday.
All right. According to the cops, Takora Field, 28, was involved in a brawl Monday in St. Petersburg, where Fields resides. And as Officer Andre Souza investigated the fight, Field told the St. Petersburg cop to suck her pussy. And she added that, "I'll hit you with my tampon, you bitch." The tampon Fields noted was destined for the protagonist's mouth.
Oh!
After issuing those threats, Fields was seen both hands in her genital area with her hands open. She was then observed throwing a wet white paper object. The tampon struck the officer's left shoulder. After flinging the tampon, Fields sought to flee in a nearby residence, but she was apprehended following a successful taser deployment. She was charged with aggravated battery on a law enforcement officer, a felony, a crime that was carried out, the crime was carried out. Oh, she was charged with, wow, really? Aggravated, I guess that's battery on a law enforcement officer.
Mm-hmm. She used a weapon.
You think they gonna give her a max sentence?
She was like, why are we doing plenty of blood right here, officer?
That one was just deserved a little bit.
You started it.
I know, Karen, but it's time for you to stop it. That's enough. You gotta stop the flow of these jokes. That's it. Stop, period. It's over. Over there acting like a coon. You think this a minstrel show?
Yes, it is a minstrel show. Let it flow, let it flow.
Yo, what your aunt think of this?
I don't know.
Flo. What you think Aunt Flo would think about this? Exactly. You must come in town every month. Picture the crime was carried out, criminal complaint notes, by use of a deadly weapon, to wit, a used tampon. Fields was released from custody earlier this afternoon after posting $5,000 bond. Her rap sheet includes prior arrest for disorderly conduct and disorderly intoxication. Yeah, I'm as period positive as you can be, but nigga, you throw a motherfucking tampon on me, your ass getting tased. Karen gets the race of Takora Fields.
Black.
Karen's going with black. Blood on the leaves. Let's check the chat room. Let's check the chat room. See what they believe. White L7 shaped box. Square box. All right. Black, says Marie. Okay. White, says fuck 12. Based on the name alone, black. She also did it with much attitude. Only way to do it. Yeah, suck my pussy is pretty hardcore. The crime says white, but the name says black. Well, the correct answer is she was a black woman. Some of you did miss it. So, I don't know if a picture showed up yet.
It did, and no, Jess, I don't think she was a Crip.
You think she was a Blood?
Come on. Yeah, that's their joke about the chat room.
Oh, okay.
That's what somebody said. I know what gang she gonna be in prison.
I'm gonna throw this tampon on these bops. I ain't no criminal. All right, let's do the next one. We'll do one more, then we'll get out of here, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, it's a theme today. A fast food worker is employed in Columbus, Mississippi, is accused of smearing menstrual blood on a burger. Well, they must have said they wanted it rare.
Can I get a side of blood with my fries?
I heard of leaving it red in the middle, but this is just something else. Fast food employee in Columbus, Mississippi faces a felony charge after she smeared spit and menstrual blood on a customer's burger.
She had to flavor it up.
I guess so. Don't nobody want that. Sky Juliet Samuel.
Columbus Police Department has now opened a criminal investigation involving Jack's Restaurant.
An incident where food was tainted is the reason for the investigation. The incident happened this past Saturday at the restaurant on Highway 45 North. A Facebook post by a resident said an employee of Jack's restaurant prepared and served food that she purposely tainted with her own blood. Authorities say they do have to sort through the facts, but that they have enough to open an official case. The Mississippi State Department of Health has conducted an inspection into the restaurant.
I'll tell you what, man, that puts a new meaning to Jack in the Box.
Somebody in the chat room said homemade ketchup.
Mm-hmm. She must have been so angry she was seeing red. Her name was Sky Juliet Samuel. She tried to get away with it, too. They caught her red-handed.
I'm going to go white on this one.
Karen's going white. Let's check the chat room and see what you Negroes believe. Let me scroll to the bottom. All right, let's see. White hippie ass. What does that mean? One ah. White thought she'd throw the police off by adding mayo. White, black. Damn, everybody went white except for one person. Anyway, the correct answer is, and everybody that said white, you got it wrong.
What? You got to show me
a
picture.
She was black. Sisters be kicking it with the real flow indeed.
Apparently so.
Mm-hmm. I think she's gonna get away with it in court, though. What about you? I think they're gonna declare a minstrel. Sorry guys, I can't help it. it's really y'all fault for keep listening to the show.
Mm-hmm. Our next job gonna be making the marinara sauce at the pizza restaurant.
Oh, that's not even the pun. That's just terrible and nasty. Showing those nasty women that voted for Hillary Clinton. I tried to tell y'all this is gonna happen. Mm-mm-mm. No, let's do one more, guys. See what else we got about periods going on in here. all right, here we go. One more. It's for all the marbles. Mm-hmm. A mother is accused of chopping up her husband's dead body and hiding the pieces in 6 plastic bins, and she was denied bail.
What is this, Snap?
For my man. An operating room technician was denied bail after she was charged with desecrating her husband's body. Adrienne Smith, a mother of 4, appeared in court Saturday. The 43-year-old is accused of chopping up her husband, Randolph Smith's corpse, putting it in 6 plastic bins, and then scattering them around Burlington City, according to NewJersey.com.
Shit.
Assistant Bergen County Prosecutor Danielle Gutenbauer said she should not be allowed out of jail before her next court date just because she has a family to take care of. She has been arrested on January 20th at a family member's home. For Smith's day job, she works at an operating room technician. Operating technicians help with the operation before, during, and after surgical procedures. This entails hand tools and transports to patients and setting up equipment. So she probably knew a way around cutting up a body.
Come on now, you got your husband scattered around town like fucking Wheels Waldo.
Smith's 40-year-old brother, Orville Cousins, is also charged with defiling the brother-in-law's remains. Randolph Smith's cause of death is still unknown. Man, now that's a hell of a brother that would pick up the phone and be like, what you need? Chop up your husband's body and get rid of it? Give me 10 minutes. Give me 20 minutes. I'll be there. Let me what? Can I finish the game? Can I finish watching the game?
Yeah, I'll be like, give me 20 minutes. And 20 minutes later, that'll be the police.
No Karen to be snitching.
In a heartbeat, yes, sir, you all. Your black ass gonna go to jail. Don't tell me shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they say he came through. Prosecutors say they found materials bought for chopping up the body at Smith's home. Smith and Cousins purchased the material together 2 days after Smith claims her husband went missing. The mother told police her husband left at home at 8:30 p.m. on Christmas Eve, but he left and did not come back. Smith reported him missing on January 2nd and said he left the home on Morgan Street with someone she did not know. The Major Crimes Union, of course, came in. Later, human remains in the plastic bins were found in Burlington City, and detectives determined they were Randolph Smith's body. Burlington City is an hour and a half drive from Bergenfield. They also report that Smith was charged with hindering apprehension in addition to desecrating the body. Cousins, who is from the Bronx, shout out to the Bronx, baby! Woo-hoo! You know what's up? Way to do it big time. Show them how to murder. Chop up bodies.
I'm from Brooklyn, so I'm from New York. What's really good, son? I don't play no games, yo.
Exactly. So yeah, Cousins, who's from the Bronx, currently being held in jail in New York. He is reportedly single and unemployed. Well, why you gotta throw that in there?
is he on the prison dating site you and Justin was covering on Ball Deep?
Not yet. Gotta save up commissary to get a profile.
He ain't got his profile up yet.
Cousin, the investigation's ongoing. There have not been any murder charges. Guess the race of these two people, Karen.
They're both the same race?
Yep.
Okay, what are their names again?
Their names are Adrienne Smith and Orville Cousins.
Black.
Karen's going with black. Man, you don't make a lot of Orvilles these days. Let's see what the chat room thinks the race is. Wait, have you asked already?
Yeah.
Oh, I see you just
one
now
person
asked.
Guessed before I put it out there.
White kids don't get that upset. It's spitting. Okay,
go down the
gotta be white. Come on, Rod says Really Dark Night. Guess the race. White, scary white, says our girl Jess Wood. Charlotte says I was gonna say white, but black equal boogie down Bronx black. Marie says white. Wait, hold on. Says yeah, white. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's check the chat room. All right, we did that. All right, guys, correct answer is, and let's be honest, guys, All she wanted to do was just chop it up with him. I'm just kidding, guys. You know, I had to make a joke. You know, I'm all torn to pieces over this. Anyway, the correct answer is, Karen, you're right, black. Which means a lot of y'all was wrong.
Yeah, they don't make too many white orbs.
No, you're right. That's how you got it. That's a good job. Be honest, man. Their relationship was on its last legs anyway. All right, did the picture show up yet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he very black.
That's the husband.
Oh, that's the victim.
This is the woman who the wife.
Yeah, she very black.
Mm-hmm. And then this is her 40-year-old brother who drove all the way from New York just to do some murder down here.
What? No. Honey, I'd have dialed 911 and be like, hey, yeah, I'm from Brooklyn. Y'all need to head on down south. Here's the address. Check it out.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, let's get into sword ratchetness. It's a damn shame when you stop having sex in a relationship, what could happen? Think he all her husband wanted was some cut up. Alright, sorry. Austin DJ.
That's a good one.
Austin DJ plays a show after a man with samurai sword dagger reportedly stabs him. The suspect, 32-year-old Shusaku Shiroyama. Wait, did I already read this? Was later arrested and charged with burglary of habitation and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Angel says he was waiting for his friend, Kirkland Ardain, to arrive at his apartment. So he opened up the door when he heard a knock, but the person on the other side was a masked man with a samurai sword. Right when the door opened, a guy comes in, just like slashing a long katana blade. When Angel grabbed the blade, he said the man pulled out a dagger. Damn! The fuck? He came prepared, man. Pulled out a dagger. Yeah, so he said once the dagger went in my back, that was when I actually thought this might be it. I was like, think I'm dying, because I just felt it instantly. Angel said he started to recognize Shiroyama, who's a local bar owner where Angel performed before. Ardain arrived at the apartment and Shiroyama started running after him. Ardain ran to his car, locked it, and called 911. Kirkland saved my life, Angel said. Angel was transported to the hospital where he got nearly 50 stitches.
Goddamn.
About an hour later, the DJ headed to Volstead Lounge on East 6th Street to spin the last part of the show he had been set to play.
What?
If they stop you, you just gave them that power. I don't want to give them that power, he said.
Ha ha!
For some jams, dog. So people can hear some tunes. You 50 stitches.
What white nonsense is this?
You must be out your motherfucking mind.
Y'all have been DJ list if you were depending on me.
Shit, you stabbed me and I got a gig that night.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out. No thanks, don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. All right then. I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Dog, absolutely not. That's the only song y'all gonna hear that night is fuck this shit, I'm out.
50 stitches, dog!
Yeah, I had to call in sick. What happened? I got stabbed 50 stitches. I'm good. Well, we're not gonna pay you. Oh, that's cool. I'm also not getting out of this bed with these 50 stitches. Think you daredevil, motherfucker?
Ha ha!
DJ Daredevil. All right, guys, we will be back. If you listen, if you like I said, if you're into This Is Us, mm-hmm. the time has moved up. It'll be Thursday at 5.
You want to watch it live?
Me and Bossy Igby going in on the number one hit drama, NBC's This Is Us, on our show This Too Much. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, it's freemium, so I've already taken the first one down off the feed, and after this one goes up, the second one will be out the feed, because we basically leave up the latest two episodes and then we take them down. Mm-hmm. All right. So yeah, thank y'all so much for supporting us. Thanks for everybody going premium and stuff. Really appreciate you guys, and we're really happy and stuff. We'll see you guys, regular people, we'll see you Saturday. And don't forget, Saturday is our great calendar giveaway. Mm-hmm. We got a few calendars left. We're gonna give them away during the feedback show.
Yes.
And yeah, so that's it. We'll see you guys Saturday. Till then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.